There are very, very few words in the English language that can suck the air out of your lungs like the word cancer. I remember, I guess it's been a couple of years ago now, hanging up the phone with my dad after he said, they found something, we don't know what it is. And that moment when you hear that word cancer, it's like, it's scary. The drop of a hat makes you start thinking in a completely different way. You know, my dad, not that he was a terrible person or anything, but there was, you know, rifts in my family. There were certain siblings he wasn't really on speaking terms with. You know, different points in family relationships. He had all these little projects that he was very much focused on. And within a matter of a day or two, all that kind of melted away. Whatever that hardship was didn't seem so important anymore. And he started going through one by one and calling my siblings and asking them to talk with him one-on-one. And while we were very fortunate that it just turned out to be a scare, not really anything at all, but that moment of uncertainty, I mean, it just stops you right in your tracks. And for anyone who's ever been in that situation, for yourself or for another, a loved one, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it completely changes your perspective on life. All the things that were so important that, like, it had to be done, this is where my focus of my time needs to be, like that, it's gone, and you completely shift what's your values and what really matters. I feel like our steward in today's gospel had kind of a similar moment. So the steward, the master of the house, you know, a steward in the time of Jesus in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, basically the steward was put in charge. He didn't own the property, but he was the right-hand man. The king or the landowner, the wealthy person would put the steward in charge and then go away. He wouldn't even worry about it. A lot of times he wouldn't even check up on the steward. He just assumed that the steward was making good business decisions and making him money. The steward wasn't. He was squandering his wealth, squandering what he had been put in charge of. And yet, when he has this opportunity to kind of evaluate, okay, I'm getting fired, there was no Social Security to fall back on. There was no benefits. There was no, 401k. It was what you had and who you know. And that's why in so many of the Gospels, like the Gospel of the man that Jesus raised from the dead, who was the only son of a widow, for a widow in Jerusalem who, you know, however old she might be, without a family support system, it was almost a death sentence in many ways. You were basically confined to begging. If you could make a living by begging, that was your existence. And this is what this man said: I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. So he had to reevaluate where he was going. And so when he goes and renegotiates with his master's debtors, you know, if you owe 100 cores of wheat, well, I'll sit down and write a note for 80. So part of understanding the context of this gospel, before we can understand the moral, the spiritual element of the gospel, we have to understand the literal. Just like there's layers of an onion, there are layers of the gospel, of layers of scripture. And until you get the first layer, you understand the literal sense, what is trying to be conveyed through the words, and really it takes a historical context a lot of times to really appreciate that. If you can't get the literal sense, you miss a lot of the spiritual meanings. So in this gospel, to get the literal sense, we have to understand what a steward is and does and how business was transacted 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. The steward, again, he didn't own the property, but he was the right-hand man. And so he would tack on his little fee on top of the fee of the business transaction of the master of the house. So if it was whatever it might happen to be, he would put his cut on top. Just like the tax collectors, they would do the same thing. They would charge a tax in the name of Caesar, and then they would put their fee on top of the tax for Caesar. which is why the tax collectors were so hated back then. But this man goes in and he renegotiates and kind of cuts off his tax from the top. So you owe 100, now you only owe 50, right? Now you would think a person in this situation who's facing possibly homelessness or eviction or joblessness, whatever, financial insecurity, you would think they would start amassing as quickly as possible whatever they can, bring it into themselves so that they have some sort of stability, at least for the short term. But that's not what we see this man doing. He goes and cuts that off. He basically, and he's cashing in his chips, he's making a bet that if he basically pays back that part of the debt, forgives that part of the debt, his fee, cuts that off and says, you no longer owe this part of the debt, that he will build a relationship with his master's debtors. And as it says, perhaps they will welcome me into their homes. He's recognizing, he's looking to the future, which is why he's commended for acting prudently by the master of the house. He's looking to the future. He's evaluating, taking a risk. Okay, so my 40 bushels of wheat, yeah, I could live off of that for a month or two. But if I can establish a relationship with someone, maybe get another job, have more long-term stability, he's acting with prudence. And hence he is commended. In many ways, a cancer scare does the same thing. Those moments of life that stop us in our tracks and make us reevaluate how we're living, going about life, where our priorities are, where we invest our resources. Because each of us are stewards. What you have is not yours. Your time is not yours. Your family is not yours. It's been given to you to hold, to use for God's greater honor and glory. And when we're presented with a gospel like this, and that kind of the 25th Sunday of ordinary time, it's kind of like a speed bump. As things are kind of cruising along, we hit the speed bump. It challenges us to wake up a little bit. Where are we placing our priorities? How are we using the resources that we have been made stewards of? Our time, talent, and treasure. A gospel like this, a challenge like this, a speed bump like this is all well and good. If you hear this and you think, oh, that's great, I should probably think about, you know, what's important. But if it doesn't actually translate to an action, if you just sit here and you think, yeah, that's a good message, that's awesome, and then you leave the door and nothing changes, if you don't actually concretely do something, put something into action, it's worthless. It counts for nothing. St. Ignatius says, if you want to make progress in the spiritual life, you have to get to the point of action. You can't simply have a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling or have a good, rousing motivation. But if it doesn't translate to action, you don't actually gain anything. So what does action look like for us being challenged by today's gospel? Well, I ask you to consider what you would do if you were facing death right now. If you had that call of cancer. Say you were given 3 months. Say Christmas. You knew Christmas was the end of the world. Jesus was coming back. You have 3 months. How would you spend your time? Who would you call and ask forgiveness from? Or who would you forgive? How would you start using your financial resources? Things that, you know, you have a garage full of stuff that you keep accumulating because someday maybe I'll do something with that. And it just keeps piling up and piling up. And not acting generously. A gospel like today challenges us at not just the overall bird's eye view, 1,000-foot perspective of life, but even the day-to-day challenges. How are you spending time in prayer? Do you even pray? Brothers and sisters, we are stewards of 1,000 different gifts. But if we don't take time to focus on what's really important, we'll kind of be missing the point. May we take a step back and reevaluate how we can put the Lord at the center of our lives.